What are values? Values is what we expect from others. We expect that others should be honest, kind, compassionate, sharing, unselfish. But these values only become values when we bring them in our life. What I expect from others, I have to imbibe in me. I have to practice them myself. Then only my practice of values is true, is complete. And that's how it is in throughout the world. People expect others to be good. In fact, even in criminals, even in thieves, it's very interesting. They expect total honesty from each other. If three people rob a bank, and if one of them shorts them of the money, the other two will kill him. Why? Because they expect honesty. So these values are like the which are hidden deep in us. And we all have them. We all are of the nature of Brahman, Om. But they are, our values are covered by our vasanas, our negative tendencies. And so they don't come to the surface. But a person who brings these values into his or her life, practices them effortlessly, we call them a saint. Saints do not imitate. They do not say, oh, if he is nice to me, I'll be nice to him. If he is kind to me, I'll be... They are spontaneously kind. They are spontaneously loving. Their relationship is not a business. In you and my case, you know, if this person talks to me properly, I'll talk to him. If he's rude, I'll just ignore him. So that is the difference between us and the saints, because their values are spontaneous. They not only read about them, but they live them. They practice them. So that is why throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna has emphasized the practice of values. If you look in the 12th chapter, you look in the 13th chapter. In the 12th chapter, somebody asks him, what are the qualities of a devotee? You know, you're my devotee, Mad Bhakta Same Priya. He says, such a devotee is dear to me. Not how many times does he go to the temple or how many times does he light a candle in the church, but what are the qualities of a devotee? Adveshta Sarva Bhutanam Maitra Karuna Evacha Nirmamo Nirahankara Samadukha Sukha Kshami. So who he says, who is my devotee? Who is Adveshta, who doesn't hate anybody? Maitra Karuna Evacha, who is friends to all, very compassionate. Nirmamo Nirahankara, he has no I or mine. Samadukha Sukha Kshami, remains the same in joy and sorrow, success and failure, forgiveness. And so on, he goes on, santushta satatam yoga. So these values are something we need to practice if we want to be spiritual people, if we want to be close to the Lord. And they should become the part of the fabric of our life, just as in a cloth. What is the fabric of the cloth? It is cotton. Without the cotton, the fabric does not exist. You remove fat, cotton. That is how we have to make the values a part of our life. And in the 16th chapter, the Lord himself, in the first three verses, mentions the values. Abhaya sattva samshutihi, jnana yoga vyavasthitihi, danam damascha yajnascha, svadhyaya stapa arjavam, and so on. So the values like fearlessness, purity of mind, charity, control of senses, self-study, straightforwardness, these are given by the Lord himself in the first three chapters, I mean the first three verses of this chapter, and the rest of the 16th chapter he talks about the asurik, people who are not divine, who are not practicing these values, who are not saintly. And so the rest of the chapter is addressed to people like us, because we find this world at this moment is so materialistic, so selfish. The idea is just to get whatever I want at any cost. And so we find that he has painted this picture of this asuric individual this person who is not practicing these values. That's why he calls them Daivi and Asuri Sampatti. So the divine and the undivine qualities. Now, evil has no existence by himself. Swami Ishwaranandaji says very beautifully in his commentary. He says, evil is an absence of good. So there is no such thing as the devil. But the absence of good qualities in us brings out the devil in us, brings out the asura in us. Just as darkness has no existence by itself. They say, what is darkness? Darkness is nothing but absence of light. So for us, if we want to get out of this trap of evil, we have to positively develop the divine qualities. And so that is what the entire chapter talks about. People who do not practice the divine qualities. So the idea is that this is not meant to scare us or not meant to be pessimistic, but it's meant to tell us what to do and what not to do and how one can improve one's life. So last week we had done verse number 10 where he says, people have desire which is insatiable and their mind is full of pride, arrogance, hypocrisy, and due to delusion they have wrong ideas and their actions are impure. So that is what he has told us last week. So today we will continue on the same thought. It is like an artist when he paints an outline first. Before he paints, he draws the line and then he fills in more detail. First he has just made the mountains and, you know, some of the outline. Then he fills in the birds and the trees and the sky and the moon and all. So similarly here, Krishna is giving us more details of this person of the devilish estate. So verse number 11. Chintam aparimeyam cha. Pralayantam upashritaha. Kamopabhoga paramaha. Etavaditi nishchitaha. So chinta. Chinta means worry. Just directionless thinking. What is worry? Worry is to try to cross a bridge before you have come to. That's why they say, you know, we'll cross the bridge when we get to it. But people who worry, worry about things that have not happened. Aparimeyamcha, immeasurable. Pralayantam upashritaha. And they, until death, pralaya means death. Until their death, they are constantly taking refuge in worry, constantly worrying. Why are they so much worried? Kam upabhoga paramaha. Paramaha, what is the prime purpose of my life? Kama upabhoga. Enjoyment of desires and sense pleasures. Etavad iti nishchita. What else is there? Etavad iti, that alone is. And nishchita, they have firm conviction. They are totally convinced that this alone is the purpose of life. And that is fulfillment of sense pleasures. So chinta, let us talk a little bit about chinta. Chinta as distinguished from chintan. Chintan means to contemplate, to think. When we sit for meditation, you know, they say, you do chintan, you contemplate, you think about what is my goal in life, what is my purpose, and then you direct your mind to that. So, and chinta is directionless thinking, worrying about things that have not happened. Another place I had heard is that chinta in Hindi, I can say, chinta to chitta se bhi buri hai. I'll translate that. I say chinta, worry is even worse than a funeral pyre. The funeral fire that you burn on, worry is worse than that. He says, why? Why is worry worse than a funeral? You cannot think of anything worse than lying on a funeral fire. He says, chitta ek bar jalati hai, chinta sau bar jalati hai. See, the funeral pyre only burns you one time, but worry burns you hundreds of times. You constantly worry, you know, and Shankaracharya in Bhaj Govindam, he says very beautifully, he says, balasthavat krida sakta, tarunasthavat taruni sakta, Vriddhastavat chinta sakta parame brahmani gopina sakta. He says in childhood, balastavat krida sakta. Children, what do they want? Play. So they are all the time playing and they are attached to play. When they grow young, tarunastavat taruni sakta. Then a young man, what does he want? A young woman. So the second half of his life or she is spent in attraction with the opposite sex, you know. And, you know, and then, of course, getting, building a house and family and all that. And so that is the second half of my life is spent in that. And vriddhastavat chinta sakta. And for the old person, chinta, worry. And that's, we find that that's the biggest preoccupation of people as we get older. We worry unnecessarily. We worry about children. We worry about grandchildren. Your child is 60 years old. If he comes home half an hour late, oh, what happened? I was worried. You must have noticed that. You know, it happens to all of us. And Parame Brahmani, and nobody is thinking about the highest Lord. Even in the old age, when their mind should be on the Lord, they are still worried about the world. You know, what is going to happen to me? My body is hurting, and my children, are they going to take care of me? Where am I going to end up? Money, you know, all the time. We're not saying that one shouldn't take care of one's, you know, possessions and all. But all your life, that's why they have divided our life, the great rishis, into four quadrants. Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasa. So the first 25 years, they say you should spend in study. And that should be your main goal. You know, study and get the highest education. 25 to 50 is your time to build your family, have children, take care of them, get them educated. And then 50 to 75, vanaprastha, they say start withdrawing from the world. Stop interfering in what your children are doing and, you know, grandchildren are doing. You have educated your children, now let them take care of their children. You don't, if you are asked for advice, give it. Otherwise, slowly withdraw yourself. And then the last quadrant after 75, sannyas, where you should have nothing to do with this world. The world is, as far as I'm concerned, is finished. All I do is remember the Lord, you know, and spend my mind in prayer, in meditation, in dhyan. If I can contribute a little bit, it's okay. But otherwise, that I do in my age 50 to 75, serve the world, help others. After that, my preoccupation is only with the Lord. But these people, they are all, their whole life is spent in worry. And it says worry is not only simple worry. Aparimeyam. Ma, the word, verb, ma in Sanskrit, the root means to measure. Meya means measurable. Aparimeyam means immeasurable worries. Their worries never end, never ending worries. And till death. Until they die, their only the goal is how to acquire more, how to get more, how to possess more. My only purpose of life is to enjoy more and more. Swami Ishwaranandaji says, we used to be first in a capitalistic economy. Then it became a communist economy. You know, half the world is communist, half the world is capitalist. Now the economy is moristic. Either capitalistic, now communist. Even in the communist countries, they, you know, people just want more and more. Few people are trying to become rich and get more and more. And their idea of success is what? If I can get as much as I want and I can enjoy life. So, but you know, in the process, you are hurting so many. See, I have the money, I am rich, let me enjoy. If they are suffering, if they are poor, let them. That's their prarabdha. They were born with that bad luck. They cannot work hard, you know, let them. I worked hard. I acquired so much. So what if I don't have to now share with anybody. I can enjoy my life. And then lust becomes their downfall because they have such a strong desire to acquire, to possess. And we find so many prominent people, when this sensual lust takes over them, so that's what they say, that one has to be very, very careful. This lust or these strong desires can take over, where then these people do anything and everything to hurt others, to get what they want. There was a very famous saint in India, or very famous writer, poet. His name was Bhartrihari. And he, in one of his poems, writes it very beautifully in Sanskrit. But the summary of that is, bhoga equals roga. So what is bhoga? Bhoga is sense enjoyment. Excess of sense enjoyment leads to illness, roga. And we all know that in this modern society. They say if you eat too much, you know, eat too much fried foods, overeat, and, you know, don't exercise, live unhealthy, you'll get heart problems. You know, so they you know, we all read that. We all know that. But we don't practice it. Or if you drink too much, you know, if you drink too much, you'll end up with liver problems. You'll end up, you know, dying from it. You'll end up with brain issues. Too much indulgence in any other pleasures, you know, ultimately leads to people's downfall. And they get all kinds of illnesses, you know, HIV and this and that and all. So the media keeps telling it, but people don't listen. You know why? Because they expect a magic pill. They want medical science to solve all our problems. I can eat and drink as much as I want, but now science has come up with the starch blocker, you know, where you take that and your starch won't be absorbed, or there are fat blockers. So we are looking for medical science to solve our weak. Let us do whatever we want, cow, PO, don't have any discretion, do whatever we want. But the doctor should come up with a pill, or the medical science should do something so that I can do everything I want, but I should not suffer the consequences. So they say, I'm just going to take these pills, I'm just going to do this. No, I'm not going to discipline myself, I'm not going to exercise, I'm not going to eat healthy, I'm not going to watch, but I'm just going to do anything and everything. And then I go to the doctor and say, look, I have high blood pressure, I have diabetes, I'm overweight, my heart is, you know, three vessels are blocked. Now you take care of. So we are not ready to take responsibility for our actions, and we expect someone else to do that. And that is the biggest problem with today's society, that people want to do whatever they want, but do not want to face the consequences. Same thing with drinking. They will keep on drinking. And then when the liver fails, then they will say, okay, now send me to UCLA. I want a new liver. Array, you spent your whole life abusing your liver and drinking, and then now you're expecting that some young man will die somewhere so I can get his liver and I can start drinking again. So that is what the society has come to. Or, you know, same thing with sense pleasures. People will enjoy and indulge, and they say, you know, give me the birth control pill so I can do whatever I want. I don't have to worry about pregnancy. I don't have to worry about consequences. But birth control pills have their own problems. You know, you can get blood clots, you can get strokes, you can get heart problems. So nothing in this world is without consequences. There's no such thing as a free lunch. But that is what people are expecting in society, that I should do whatever I want, but the other should not. Other should be good, and I can do what. And so that is the problem. That's what Mahatma Gandhi said, be the change that you want to see in society. If you want society to change, you have to change. If you want people to be good to you, you have to be good. If you want people to be loving and kind and compassionate to you, you have to be loving and kind and compassionate. If you want people to be unselfish and sharing and caring, you have to become unselfish and sharing and caring. So that is the message of this verse, that these people they say that there is nothing else in life. Life is only meant for fun, or hai kya, there is nothing else, you know, just. And if you watch the whole society, that is how it is. If you look at TV, all you find really on the majority of the channels is sex, food and violence. There is nothing else out of the, I don't know, nowadays they have hundreds of channels. I don't know who watches them. I have no idea. I mean, there are some rare channels, but like barring a few, two or three, everything else sells on, you know, on that. Even the news is full of this. If you look at the news, there is violence, there is, you know, food advertisements, or there is sex. That's all that sells. And now people have even started glorifying violence. Not only other people filming, but themselves, like this guy who shot the two TV reporters. He himself filmed himself shooting these people and then sent it to all the media. And of course, he got killed, but the media picked up on it, YouTube, and everybody was broadcasting his own video of him shooting others. So what is happening is that slowly, slowly, violence is being glorified and selfishness is being glorified. And people say, it is okay. You know, everything sab chalta hai. You know, everybody is doing it, so what happens if I do it? Corruption and dishonesty. And in fact, the word they use is that people have become like animals. Now, animals, it is our scriptures say that when animals walk on four legs, now what happens? Their head, their stomach, and their lower organs are all in one straight line, right? A dog walking, or a lion, or all the three are in one straight line. That means that for an animal, the intellect, the stomach, and the lower are all one. But in a human, we walk erect. Why is that? Because the head is highest, then is the stomach, and then is the lower organs. So the idea is that for a human being, we have to pay more attention to our intellectual growth, to our spiritual growth, to our, you know, further evolution. From animals, we became humans. From humans, let's become saints. Let's become prophets. Let's become, you know, Jesus and Buddha and Shankaracharya and Swami Chinmayananda and all these, Mirabai and all. They all were ordinary human beings, but they had a goal in life. They had a vision in life to be better. So that is what we have to do. In fact, they say that calling such people animals is actually an insult to animals, because an animal eats only up to so much, right? An animal does not, like a lion is not going to say, I killed this deer, but there is a second deer. Let me kill it also and keep it in case, you know, tomorrow I get hungry. No, he says, when tomorrow when I get hungry, I'll find another deer. But humans, their freezers are full of food. And there is no end. You go to the, in fact, in the Roman times, there used to be parties where these Romans used to eat so much, and they were so full. But the food, there are like 100 different items they haven't eaten. So what do? They used to have these, like, these, you know, sinks. Yeah, and they used to go out up there and throw up, put this feather in their neck, in their throat, and throw up so their stomach is empty so they can go. And that's true. They used to really do that. And even nowadays, you go to Indian weddings, and they literally have 100 items. And I'm like, what are they going to, especially in India, even here, they have 25 different desserts and about 30 different suparis and the main dishes, forget it, appetizers. Who eats all those? So it's just on and on and on. Another thing about animals, they will not kill their own species. A lion will never kill another lion, and he will not kill without reason. He'll not say, oh, this deer is passing by, let me just kill it. He will only kill if he's hungry. But a human being does not need any excuse to kill anybody. I have a gun, I'm not happy, let me go into McDonald's and kill 30 people. They have not done anything to me, let me go into this theater and just throw bombs. So we don't need an excuse to kill. We don't need a reason. It is just, I felt like it. The world has not been good to me. Whether that person harmed me or didn't harm me, an innocent person, some wife, somebody's child, somebody's husband, it doesn't matter. So that's what society is coming to. The idea is not to be discouraging. It's this verse is not meant to get us depressed, because I see everybody, you know, looks. The idea is that these positive values we all have in us, all of us have Lord in us, Bhagwan, Om, Krishna, Jesus, we all have that. So only problem is it is hidden deep, and we need to dive deep within. Raman Maharishi says it very beautifully. He says that just as a diver, you know, for looking for a pearl, a diver will dive deep. And when he dives deep, he's very quiet, he controls his breath, and he dives deep. And then only he can find the hidden pearl. He cannot find it superficial. Of course, he's talking about meditation, that in meditation you quieten your mind and you control your breath, and in silence you go deep and find the Lord within. But we can apply that same logic here also, that each one of us has these values within us. We are not, you know, in the beginning itself, Krishna talks about rakshasas, those who cannot be corrected. But most of us are not of that caliber. We have these good qualities in us, but they have been covered by our vasanas, our selfish tendencies, our wrong ideas. You know, importance has been given to the wrong things, and, you know, the whole society, the TV, the media, they all propagate that. So we have them in us, but they're hidden deep. So we just have to make a positive decision that I'm going to develop these positive values, help others, and make this world a better place. It's a very, very beautiful verse. If anybody has any comments, any questions.
Preach to people about that kind of thing.
I think preaching should be done if a person asks. I think if one just goes around and starts telling people, you know, look, you know, what you're doing is not right, you shouldn't be overeating, you know, do you need this extra helping of ice cream? You will lose friends. So I think if the person comes and tells you, look, I'm having this problem, you know, or my mind is very disturbed, you know, what should I do? So then you tell them, you know, what is the reason? Maybe you're watching too much TV, watching the wrong kind of shows, associating with the wrong kind of people. Maybe come to the meditation class. You know, so encourage them if they are asking. But if you just go around preaching, I don't think people will change. People will only change when they are ready to change, when they want to change. And when they realize that, like Arjuna, Krishna was his friend ever since childhood. They were childhood friends. And Krishna never spoke a word until Arjuna in the battle, he says, you know, Shishyasteham Shadi Mam Tvam Prapanna. I am now lost. I don't know what to do. And I am your disciple. Please, I've come to your refuge. You please guide me. That's when he starts, you know, Ashochyavan, Ashochyastvam, Pradyavanapsada. So he says, you are crying over things that do not need to be cried about. So that's the first time Krishna opens his mouth. And even in the first chapter, Arjuna is talking about all this, what's happening and why the war is bad. And Krishna is very silent. Why? Because Arjuna was not asking for advice. He was lecturing Krishna on why he shouldn't fight this war. So Krishna said, let him speak. But finally, when he was ready to get the knowledge, and that's what, even all the Upanishads, we find the guru is not out searching for the disciple. The guru sits in the cave in the Himalayas. He says, let the disciple come to me. So that's the point, you know, that preaching only can be done when a person is ready.
Yes, you can, you know, just avoid putting it into your mind, but you can't fight it.
True, you cannot change society, but at least I can change myself. See, I am not responsible for changing the whole world. At least I myself should be selective about what TV shows I watch, what books I read, what people I associate with, what things I, you know, they say, no, garbage in and garbage out. You know, in a computer, if you put the wrong information, the results will be wrong. So our mind is also like a computer. Our body is also like a computer. If you put the wrong things in your body, you will have the body wrong results. But the thing is, nowadays, people are conscious about what they put in their body. They're very particular. You know, body, oh, I must eat this. I must take vitamins. And they, to some extent, even about their pranas. You know, what you know, like that they will purify the house so that the breath should be, the air should be clean. My heart should be healthy, so they will exercise, they will go to the gym. So the body and the pranas, the physiological, we take care of. But the manomaya kosha and vijnanamaya kosha, we don't take care of. We take care of our body, our pranas. But what is going into my mind and what is going into my intellect, that we have no control over. We let anybody put any kind of garbage. People, when they're gossiping or talking, you know, nonsense, on the radio, you know, on the TV, there is so much negativity. So I have to be choosy. I have to be careful what I put in my mind, because whatever I put in my mind will come out of my mouth as right speech. So I can take care of my life. I am not responsible for the rest of the world. And if somebody comes and asks me, I advise, at least I myself, and as long as I am growing, see what happens is people say, nobody will listen. But if you grow and if you get better with, you know, with the right ideas, with the right reading the Bhagavad Gita and all, you will have a positive influence upon your, in your neighborhood, upon your family members, upon your friends, upon your associates. Without even preaching, they will see that this person, how he or she is benefiting from that. So they say, you change and the world will change with you. So I have to be responsible for my own change. And then whatever happening, you say, I always, you know, say, teri dunya tu sambhal. You know, it's your world, you take care of it. Why should I worry about what's happening in Africa and what's, if I can take care of it, I do. Otherwise, let it happen. You know, they are the karma, whoever is doing karmas will get the results of their karmas. So we worry too much, especially with internet and with TV. There is so much news coming and they're all the time worried. Oh, 9 people died here and 11 people. They always were dying. Unfortunately, now with internet, we hear it right away. Otherwise, previously, if somebody got killed in France, it would take you 2 days. Madam, the newspaper publishes that article. So that's what it is. The world was always, good and evil were always there. This thing was written 5,000, 8,000 years ago. And looks like Krishna is talking about 21st century, you know, earth. And 8,000 years ago, exactly what he has told is all coming true. So what does that prove? That the world was always the same. Even at the time of Krishna, even at the time of Rama, even at the time of Jesus, there were evil people and good people. So,
hungry for spirituality, or is it something different?
No, I think that's what they're saying. You know, there are 4 yugas, Satyug, Dwapar Yug, Treta Yug, and then Kali Yug. Mm-hmm. So Kali Yug is where we are in now, which is the worst form. But then after Kali Yug comes Satyug. So the birth of the new age has already started. Satyug has already started because we are in the worst of the Kali Yuga, the most evil. From here, there is nowhere to go except up. We can only get better. We can't get any worse. It seems like it. But eventually, more people are going to churches. More people are reading Vedanta. You know, people like, you know, all these, you know, spiritual teachers, they are getting now thousands of followers. Look at Eckhart Tolle. Look at Murari Bapu. Look at, you know, all these saints and preachers, they are getting large number of followers. And so I think the new age is coming. You know, people are, even here, there are 50 people listening to the Bhagavad Gita, which for me is so fulfilling that people, you know, want this knowledge because they're tired of living the way they are living. So I think things are getting better. The Chinmaya mission all over the world is growing like wildfire. Every year, at least 10 or 12 new centers, new buildings are coming up throughout the world. And ours is a small one. Some of them, they have 2,000 children. And they have like, you know, 200, 300 adults attending Swamiji's lectures and all. So it's growing, you know, everywhere. Swami Narayan and you know, all of them are growing very fast. Swadhyay, which is good. And I think these things are happening. That's very nice.
Person like myself abandon somebody like that? I mean, or do you just let them go, or do you
I think what one can do is just be a friend and say, okay, I'm still your friend. I know things are not going well for you, but I'm here for you. If you ever need you know, a ear to talk to, or if you need a shoulder to cry on, if you need some help, I'm available. Without giving that person a handout or encouraging them fall apart, but if be available. And anytime they finally, when they finally realize my life is going to hell and
they finally get to the rock bottom, right, and they change.
Right. And then you should be available to help them at that stage. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm
but
here.
Now it's pick me up and run me around kind of things.
Yeah, I think.
I don't feel that.
Right. Now you don't have to help them and give them a handout, but just be available that. And if they have a genuine need somewhere, you know, maybe to go to a doctor or go to the doctor or something.
But
otherwise they have to get to the bottom and they have to be ready to,
to get to the bottom.
And they have to be ready for help.
Ready for help.
Yeah, and they have to ask you. And then you have to see that they are sincere, I think.
Yeah.
I think.
I'm not quite clear on that. So is it the energy zen for an animal?
They're called tiryang. That means the head and their stomach and their genital organs are in one straight line. That means they give equal importance to the brain, to the stomach, and to the lower organs. They're all in one straight line. It is symbolic. While a man is erect, that means the head is on top, and then the stomach, and then the lower. So that should be our priority. That should be the priority of a man, that his more importance should be given to his intellectual growth and evolution. And then less to the stomach. Stomach not only means food, but acquiring material possessions. You know, pet ke liye hum karte hain. Means acquiring material possessions should be second, and then the third should be, you know, the fulfillment of the other pleasures. So that should be the priority of a human being. That's why they say that.
What is it? Is it a kind of state of mind?
I think there is a difference between planning and worrying. See, one is you plan your event. You know, you plan, what am I going to do? How am I going? If I have a challenging situation coming up. Another one is to worry about what will happen. I don't know what will happen. I don't know what will happen. And what they say is that when you worry, your performance is not that good. See, you can only act in the present. Like if I have to do something tomorrow or day after, if I worry about it today, I still cannot do it today. I have to do it tomorrow or day after. I can only do it in the now. So when tomorrow comes or when day after comes, when I'm doing that job at that moment, if I have planned it correctly and if I have thought about it, my performance will be good. But if I worry today about what I'm going to do tomorrow and day after, then my performance today of what I'm supposed to do today is not good. So that's why they say that when you are doing something, you have to be in the present. There is a book called The Power of Now, you know, written by Eckhart Tolle, which is a very nice book where he talks about that doing, being in the present, you plan, you know, he also plans his events a year ahead or 2 years ahead. But when he is working in the present. Like we are all listening here, but then if while you are here, if you're thinking about what I'm going to have for lunch and then what I'm going to do after lunch, then, you know, your performance, your mind won't be here. So they say be where you are and be in the present and do what you're doing right now. Planning is different from worrying. Worrying is directionless thinking.
And I think the person who is continuously worrying is sometimes it becomes a part of their personality also.
Yes, yes, it becomes, that's true. There are some people who are born worriers, you know, they always worry. So I think with the right understanding that worrying is not going to solve problem. In fact, it makes it worse. By worrying about it, you actually don't do as well. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Harihi Om.